When we go into a store to purchase something, usually the first question that we ask is how much does it cost? And yet, have we ever thought about the cost of discipleship? I'm not talking about how much money it cost, but I'm talking about the sacrifices made, the commitment made, what it is to cost us as far as our resources to be a child of God, to be a disciple of His. First of all, I think we need to realize that Jehovah God, the Father, gave His Son. This was planned from the very beginning. In Genesis 3:15, we read, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, we learn the following from the Apostle Paul, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." The coming of Christ Jesus was no afterthought. It was planned from the very beginning. John 3:16 states, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Truly, Christianity has caused the best of heaven. God the Father sent his Son to this cruel earth because of the sins which you and I commit. Now remember, God did not have to do this. He was not indebted to us, but he chose to do this because he loves us. He loves his very creation. He truly does want those that he has created to live with him in eternity. So he sent his Son to suffer and to die for all mankind. God has done his part in the salvation process. Now we must do ours. Also, we note that Christianity has cost Jesus Christ his very life. Jesus left heaven's glory and became flesh. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the text says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In these passages of Scripture, we can see the salvation process of God unfold. We further learn that Jesus was born of a virgin, entered the fleshly body of pain and anguish, of hurt and despair. The Hebrew writer states that he was made a little lower than the angels in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we learn, "Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them who obey him." And suffer he did, ultimately to die that excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. Consider the words of Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul wrote, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The agony of crucifixion is indescribable. The vocabulary of man does not have the words to tell of the kind of agony, pain, and despair. The Bible tells us he committed no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Peter writes, "For to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Yes, indeed, Christianity has cost something. It cost the Father, his only Son. It cost the Son, his place in heaven, and his death on the cross. Is that all that it cost? It cost God a dear price to send his own Son to suffer and die for man. You know, it must have pained God to have witnessed his dear Son go through the pain and anguish that he did. You know that it had to hurt Jesus physically and emotionally when he went to the cross for you and me. Remember the words of Christ, as he said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Friends, it was not just God the Father, Christ the Son, that will have to do all the suffering. It will cost mankind something also. If you want to benefit from what the Father has done and what the Son has done, you too must be willing to pay the price. This is the hard part, because now we are involved in doing something to show our allegiance to Jesus. God has provided, now man has to accept. However, there is an extreme cost that man must be willing to pay in order to accept Jesus and live for him every day, longing for that eternal home in heaven. First, it will cost you forsaking all that you have. Jesus our Lord states in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his brother and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." The word hate literally carries with it the idea of loveless. We simply cannot love the fleshly ties of this creation more than we love Christ. This is easily understood in theory, but extremely difficult to put into practice. We read and understand that Jesus has said what our priority should be, yet actually to do it, to love family members less than we do the Lord, is something that only a minority of people are able to do. The rich young ruler who asked, "What lack I yet?" Jesus responded, "Go and sell all that you have and follow me." Matthew 19 and verse 16. This young man made a tragic decision when he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Do you think this man was saved? He certainly believed in Jesus, didn't he? He knew exactly who Jesus was. He addresses him as such. He thought within himself that he had done everything that was required in order to be a good and sincere follower of Christ. Yet Jesus, knowing his heart, asked him to do something that he probably never thought he would be asked to do. Go and sell all that you have. Jesus got to the very heart of this man. He knew that his possessions were something that he loved more than following after Christ. Jesus knew that and ask him to do something that would really show whether or not he was willing to put Christ first in his life. He was only willing to put Christ first up to a certain point. As long as he could serve Christ and still keep his possessions, what is it that really keeps us from putting Christ first in our lives? As was the case with this wealthy man, Jesus really knows the answer to that question. We cannot fool the Lord. We cannot deceive him. We may be able to deceive each other, but we cannot deceive Christ. His words will judge us, and he will know whether our loyalty is real in this life. Are you ready to forsake all to follow Jesus? You see, friends, there's absolutely nothing that we can put ahead of our service for the Master if we would truly follow him. No doubt this is why many do not obey the Lord. They are simply not willing to put him first in all that they do. Christianity, being a disciple of Christ, requires that we deny ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, the Lord states, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He speaks in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 and says that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Jesus puts it rather simple. You just cannot serve two masters. I cannot serve Christ on Sunday and Satan on Monday. There have been many who have tried that, but it just doesn't work. Each one of us must make up our mind as to whom we love the most, self or Christ. We have an obligation, a responsibility as a child of God to do what our Creator has asked of us. Why? So that we can have everlasting life. Do we care? Or do we think only of ourselves as we get into our family car on Sunday and drive off to the lake, the golf course, the races, or some other pleasure-seeking trip, thinking only of me and not our God, who will judge us and who will determine our eternal resting place based upon our words and deeds, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. The very reason of our existence is to be living sacrifices unto God, to offer up spiritual service unto Jehovah. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Why are you here in the flesh? Is it to eat, drink, and to be merry? You know that is the philosophy of many people in this world, but that's not the philosophy that God's children will have. Remember, we are God's children once we have put on Christ in baptism. God is the one that we are to remain loyal to, first and foremost. Our first loyalty is not in ourselves, not in our friends, not in anyone. God first. The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Ephesians and said, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." A true Christian, a true disciple of Christ, will want to be an imitator of God. We will want to walk in love for one another. Our life as a Christian is simply a life of sacrifice, doing without the worldly, fleshly things, so that we can first concentrate on and live for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are expected to be workers for the Lord, to give up our time, to make sacrifices for God. God demands obedience. Our faith should lead us to repentance and baptism, just like we're told to do in Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is the surrender of oneself to the demands of Jesus, making a commitment that we're willing to pay the price of discipleship. Have you really considered the cost of Christianity? What is it worth to you? God gave his Son. Jesus gave his life. Can you be saved without giving something? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 beginning, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." Christianity comes at a cost. Our salvation from sins requires obedience and living a life of service to God, putting him first in all that we do. Are you willing to pay that price? Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul writes at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Heaven will surely be worth the price that we pay to be saved by God's grace. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist at the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. Thank you so much for listening to this morning's radio program.